in this series, six messages on the subject of ministering to people. And last week, we talked about the gift of prophecy and prophesying to other people with all the safeguards around it, but the fact that you should be prophesying. And so I hope that some of you prophesied this week and that you're praying and asking the Lord, because the Lord says, seek earnestly the best gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Now, today, we want to speak to you on the subject of prayer and ministering to people in prayer. I am not talking to you tonight about just praying for somebody. I'm not talking to you about a typical kind of prayer ministry for people. But I am talking about you being a minister. And a minister is someone who administers something on behalf of someone else. A minister is like a doctor. When a doctor comes to do an operation, to perform an operation, or some kind of medication, or some kind of, they do a diagnostic on you, and then they give you some kind of direction, and then the doctor applies whatever is necessary to get you fixed up. And you have to see yourself. If you're a minister of the gospel, you have to see yourself like a doctor. Now, a lot of people pawn it off to Jesus. They say, no, Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the one who does it all. And it's absolutely true. Only he does the healing, and only he's the one. But so many people have taken that position to such an extent that they remove themselves from the equation. So much so that they said, well, if it's God's will, they kind of just stick their hand in between heaven and the person and just kind of tap them. And that's not the call of the minister. The minister is to come on behalf of the Lord Jesus with the power of heaven and minister prayer, healing, and answers to the problem. Do you see that if you are going to be a powerful person of prayer, you have to have a different way of thinking? You have to have a different mindset. Between now and the end of June, Joy and I will no doubt lay our hands on thousands of people, probably 5,000 people in all, between now and then, and we will break generational curses and pray for healing over each one of them individually. And when we do, we are coming with the anointing of God, the power of God in our hands, the gifts of the Holy Spirit moving through us, and we expect to see miracles. We expect to see change come. We expect to see something shift and something move, some instantaneously and some progressive, but in every case, a move of the Holy Spirit. So now you are called to be ministers of the gospel, and I'm calling you up to this place. So I subtitle this message. The title of it, of course, is Praying for People. But I subtitle it, The Intercessor's Fire. The Intercessor's Fire. So open your Bibles now to the book of Luke, chapter 10. In Luke, chapter 10, I'm going to read verse 1 and then verse 8 and 9. Luke 10, 1 says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And then in verse 8, he said, when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. In some places, in some translations, it says, tell them, the kingdom of God has come to you. So this is the place of the minister. Jesus says, I'm sending you. In this case, I'm sending you two by two to every town and village where I am about to come. Go ahead of me. And when you enter a town, if they welcome you, eat whatever they feed you. So I guess that means if you go into the house of a Gentile, all these people were Jewish, of course, and they give you catfish, crayfish, and pork chops, it wouldn't be customary for any of these disciples, who were all Jewish, kosher-keeping, law-abiding, Sabbath-keeping Jews. But the Lord says, eat whatever's set in front of you, and then heal the sick. He doesn't even say, pray and ask God to heal the sick. He says, heal the sick. You get on and do this job. Heal the sick. I've given you my name. I've given you my authority. I've given you this place. Now heal the sick and tell them that the kingdom of God has come. Are you prepared to go into somebody's house and to say to them, you've called me here to pray. I want you to know the kingdom of God has come. How come? Because I'm here. See, if you don't have a different perspective about yourself, you cannot be a minister of the gospel. You cannot be a minister to pray for people and see it be effective. You have to see yourself as one sent by God and given authority to do the job. Or else the job will not get done. So when I go to heal the sick. Now, I don't for a minute think I can do it in my own power or strength or anything that I myself could contrive. It's all because of Jesus, his work on the cross, his giving of the Holy Spirit, and the gifts that he gives me and my daily dependence on him. But knowing that, I now see myself as one who will speak as the oracles of God, who has just brought the kingdom of God into the room. And I'm here to heal the sick, to raise the dead if needs be, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, and to change the story of people's lives. Just this past day, yesterday, I got an email. I showed it to Jesse. And the email said, I found you on the internet. And you don't remember me, but my name is so-and-so, a young man. He said, in 1976, some of you might not have been born. 1976, I was ministering at a retreat. And this 16-year-old boy got saved. And he was writing me yesterday to thank me. 1976. You know, when you pray for people and you minister to people, you have to leave the consequences up with God. You don't know what happens. I don't even remember the retreat. Never mind him. I wrote him back, said, where was this retreat? And he told me, and I know the place, and I'm sure we were there. But a lot of water's gone under the bridge since 1976. Do you understand that there is a kingdom at work and wants to work in you and through you? If you don't understand who you are and what you are and the call of God on you. Now, I mentioned when teaching on healing a month ago that in order to see healings come, you have to live in the miracle. You can't just all of a sudden come to it and then have to wrestle. Your life should always be living in the miracle. When Jesus was walking from town to town, a blind man called out to him. A woman stretched out and touched the hem of his garment. He met these people on the way. He didn't have time to pray and fast for them and get all the ducks lined up in a spiritual row. He ministered because he lived in the miracle. He was in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was in him. If you're going to be a minister of the gospel, that becomes your life. And it's wonderful. You can still have fun. You'll probably have more. I do. So you have to see yourself. And then you realize that you are an intercessor. Now, an intercessor is one who stands in the gap and builds up the wall. You can read in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 29, where it says, I looked for a man. I'm sure it's generic. He could have said, I looked for a woman who would stand in the gap and build up the wall. Two things. And to stand in the gap is the gap between that person and God. And you get in there as a representative. You say, Lord, this person needs you. Here I am. And you become one who is like a lawyer representing them. And you bring what God has and you give it to them. And then you not only stand in the gap, but you build up the wall. An intercessor builds up the wall. And that has to do with restoration because walls are broken down. Has to do with putting in the things in the people's lives that they need. And that's the work of the intercessor. So a person who is going to pray and see miracles and see powerful things happen is an on-hand, immediate instigator of intercessory power. That's why I call this message the intercessory fire. Because now I am a middle person between the person I am praying for and God. And God has given me fire. John says, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That fire has two main objectives. One is to burn the chaff or to get the junk out of your life, to make you holy. But it is also the anointing and power of God so that you can do the work of the ministry. So you're going to put the apostolic fire, the intercessory fire, the fire from the altars of God. It's in your hands. You might watch me worship sometimes and see me do something. I don't know anybody else that does it. Maybe Jewish people, Jewish ladies do it actually when they bless the home on the Sabbath. But I'll start to worship the Lord and then I'll go like this. I'm worshiping you. I let that anointing come all over me, Lord. I worship you. I let the power of God come all over me. I worship you. I let the fire of God come all over me. I worship you. Fill me, Lord, with the power of heaven. And when I'm worshiping the Lord, I'm in his presence. I'm receiving all of that anointing, that fire, and that power inside of me. When I'm going to minister to somebody, it's like there's fire coming out of my hands. There's fire in my bones. It's burning in my bones. And I'm going to get somebody. I'm going to see a healing come. I'm going to see the power of God come. I'm going to see a life changed. So you have to see yourself like this. I don't know. I'm not in your head. I don't know the way you think about yourself. But when somebody says to you, will you pray for me? You ought to stand before them like a ball of fire. I hope your eyes catch a light and start to glow with the power of God. And when you lay your hands on them, there ought to be such faith inside of you that God is laying his hands on them. Because you're his minister. So we're talking now about praying for people. And I'm lifting you up now to a whole different kind of paradigm, a different way of thinking. If you do not do that, you're just a person who is praying. You're not a minister. You're not a minister of the kingdom. You're not administering the kingdom. But if you can walk among the holy fire. Walk in the throne room of God. And his power and anointing comes because you're in his presence. Then you pray and you will have faith. I don't think about having faith anymore. I used to worry whether or not I had enough faith. I used to fret over it. Now I have faith for everything. Because I'm called. And God's put me in that place. And if he brings somebody before me, unless he says no, and sometimes he has, sometimes he closes the door and says, don't pray for them. And it's happened very rarely, but it has happened. Other than that, I am going to have faith and I am going to pray. Thank you. In a very powerful way for whoever comes. So if you don't have that kind of faith, you're not going to, you're not going to be powerful. You're not going to be a minister of the gospel. So that's about you. And you have to see yourself as an intercessor, as a minister of the gospel, on fire for God. So you have to live in the miracle, because at a time when you least expect it, smile, you're on candid camera. No. But smile, because God's called you to minister to somebody. And the scripture says to be instant, in season and out of season. The more you do this, the more the doors will open for you to do it. So now what about the person who is come to you for prayer? There's no long discussions in the Bible about somebody's immense need and childhood problems and potty training problems. There's not a lot of that kind of talk. But people came and said what they needed. You know, the blind man. The Lord said, what do you want? He says, that I might see. And wherever, Lord, my servant has died. It was just the need was put there. And then Jesus handled every single person in a different way. Dr. Jesus was perfect at it. And he is now the one who trains us through his Spirit. He teaches us. But, you know, when you go to see your practitioner, your medical doctor, and you say, I don't know what I've got, but I've got this pain here, and it's causing me to lose sleep and, you know, all these problems, he starts to diagnose you and to figure out what your problem is. And he might get it wrong. You hope he doesn't get it wrong. You don't want him digging around in the wrong places and doing the wrong operation, for sure. Or giving you the wrong kind of medication. But he's a human, and doctors have made wrong decisions. And it's hurt people. Mostly, they do good. They do well. But it can happen that they don't. Well, here you are. And people's problems spiritually and their lives, the problems of their lives, are just as complex as their human bodies are. And now you are working for Dr. Jesus. He's in charge of the clinic, but you are his understudy, Dr. Mark, Dr. Karen, Dr. Penny, you're working for Jesus, and somebody comes to you for prayer. Now, what are you going to do? For there are many, many operations, many levels of faith, many gifts of the Holy Spirit, many words of wisdom, all kinds of things that will need to be put together and then shot like an arrow from a bow. So you need supernatural hearing ability. You have to hear from God more than the person who's got the problem. Sometimes the person who's got the problem can talk your ears off. I try to stop them. Because God already knows the problem. And I can get a few little details, maybe, but I don't need the details. I just need the power of God. I need a gift of discernment. If you don't have a gift of discernment, you will have a hard time being a minister of the gospel with a lot of people coming to you with prayer needs. Let me teach you something about the gift of discernment. How many of you dream on a regular basis? Can I just see your hands? Oh, isn't that wonderful? Most of you do. Some of you do a little bit. For those of you who don't pray at all or don't dream at all, we should pray that your nightlife come alive. You should pray for a better nightlife so that you will hear from God, that God will begin to speak to you in your dreams. But let me tell you something. Every person who I have ever met has the gift of discernment in their dreams. When somebody in your dream walks into a room, instinctively you discern immediately whether they are good or they are bad. You have a feeling about them in your dream. And it all comes to you, like their history comes to you in a flash. And if it's not immediate, as soon as they start to do something or talk in your dream, it comes to you then. So let me suggest to you that you have perfect discernment in your dreams. And God has given it to you there. Now learn from it. What you catch in your dreams when people come into the room, learn to do the same when you are awake. Let the gift, ask the Lord for the gift of discernment. Now, there's a lot of things that are not godly discernment. Intuition isn't necessarily godly. Woman's intuition isn't necessarily godly. Men's intuition isn't necessarily godly. Just because you have a suspicion doesn't mean it's the gift of discernment. Sometimes it's the gift of fear in you, which isn't the gift at all. But some people are so afraid, they are suspicious of everybody and everything. And that's not the gift of discernment. This has to be from the Holy Spirit. The one in your dreams is from the Holy Spirit, if you belong to Christ. So ask the Lord for this. And this is the first place. Because when I start to pray for people, and often we are praying for hundreds of people after I'm preaching, and they're lining up in a row. When we have a meeting here and we pray for people, we might get 75 people that we're going to pray for in an evening. But in some venues, we have 500 people that Joy and I are going to pray for. And everyone that comes before us, I immediately have a discernment in my spirit of who they are and what their deepest root problem is. And it is so sharp and so strong. And then they might say, I need a job. But I sense a whole lot of other stuff that doesn't have anything to do with a job in them. And now they've come to me for prayer. And the kingdom of God has come to them. Do you understand that? The kingdom of God has come to them. I'm in the middle. I'm just connected to Jesus. And he's telling me. And his government is flowing in me. If his government is not flowing in me, I'm not a minister of the gospel. I'm just a nice guy. So here you are. You have this gift of discernment. Let it grow inside of you. I was not sure of it when I was young, and probably for the first 1,000 people I prayed for, maybe the first 10,000 people I prayed for, I was not still sure of it. But stepping out with as much courage as I had to be right, But after praying for 1,000 people and seeing the results, I became more confident in what God was telling me and what I saw in people and how to pray for them. Some of these things can only come by you exercising the gift and ministering to people out of as much love and care and concern for them and love for God that you have. And as you minister and pray for people, ask Him for discernment. Most women who come, just like in a doctor's office during the month of December, most people who come have a cold or a flu. Most women who come for prayer have a deep wound of abuse. And abuse has many faces. I won't go into the details of all the different kinds of abuse. You know them. But most women who come have that. Not as many men, but probably half the number of men do too. And I find myself having to deal with the abuse issue before I can pray for a healing. Because a wounded person, a person who's been downtrodden and beaten up and has been told they're no good or has been sexually violated or has been verbally abused or beaten or abused by neglect or silent treatment. They have a stigma, how can I say, a covering over them. It's like a barrier that stops the flow of the power of God. Until you pull the arrows out of their back and the knives out of their back and you bring healing. That's why Jesus says, I've come to bind up the wounded hearted. To set the prisoners free. To lift off the oppression. So when you're ministering to people and they come and just in a word or so you find out what they're wanting prayer for. But then God starts to show you something deeper. I like to say it like this. When a person stands in front of me, I see a person with many door bolts and locks that have them all tied up in knots. Some people are paralyzed. Others are dysfunctional. Some people are functioning at half speed. Others, it's like progress is being halted or stopped or hindered in some way. Some can't step out and find the blessings of God. And some are just living in such rejection and such pain and a place of such defeat and self-put down because of all that they've collected over time that has stayed inside of them. Until they believed it. They believed the story that has come to them because of all of these things. Now I'm a minister of the gospel and they've come before me for prayer. I have to unlock some of those bolts when there's 500 people. How many bolts can I unlock in 30 seconds? Well, I can unlock a lot of them. At least a few big ones. And I can pull a spear out of somebody's back. It's been there since they were 3 years old. I do it in the name of the Lord. And I speak it and I break it. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's the word of Scripture. Fervent means there's passion in it. Effective means there's discernment. There's a prayer that hits the target. It's effective. And it comes from a righteous man. And the Bible says it avails much. Jesus healed them with a word, the Bible says. With a word, he healed them. Put his hands on them. and they were healed. So there must be a passion in you. Sometimes when I'm praying for people, I'll yell. And sometimes I won't. Sometimes I'll heal the wounded hearted. And then sometimes I stop. And I lead a person through a sinner's prayer. Because I'm not sure that they're saved. Maybe I'm sure that they're not. But if they come to me for prayer, they're going to get saved. I don't even ask them if they would like to be saved. I just say, you want me to pray for you? Say this prayer. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I am a sinner. And I lead them through it. Whatever happens after that's between them and God. But it's very powerful. So as soon as you're going to pray for somebody, I don't care if it's in India and they got a red dot in the middle of their head, pray for their salvation. Say, let me pray with you. And lead them through a sinner's prayer. And it might not be the end of the story. For Christians who you know are saved, you might lead them to a prayer of rededication. Because a lot of people's problems is that they haven't dedicated everything to the Lord. The covenant has not been established. So you want to deal with those things. We're talking about praying for people. So here are the kind of steps that you take. Then after leading them through a prayer of salvation, if needs be, or a prayer of dedication, then they might have to forgive somebody. Because the Bible says that if you don't forgive those who have hurt you, nor will your Father in heaven forgive you of your sins. It even says, when you stand praying, forgive so that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you. So then you deal with this huge element, this roadblock in so many people's lives, unforgiveness. And you lead them through a prayer of forgiveness, forgiving everybody. If they stop and say, you know what, I can't. I can forgive everyone, but not my dad. You don't know what he did to me. I say, I have a pretty good idea. But you still have to forgive him. And some people say, I won't. And then I just pray for them and ask God to bless them. And I go and pray for somebody else. But most people do. Of course, they cry at least a bucket full. God washes them and cleans them and heals them. So now they've confessed salvation, dedication to the Lord, and have forgiven those. And then the next thing I want to do when I'm praying for somebody is break any generational curses. And this is a whole study in itself, and I encourage you, if you don't yet have it, to get my book, Blessings or Curses for the Next Generation, and then break the curses. Minister of the gospel, break the curses, because Jesus became a curse for you, that you might receive the blessings that were given to Abraham. But curses come from four generations back. Because of a number of things, including sexual perversions, including crooked business, including hurting the handicapped, the alien, that is immigrants, widows, or orphans, or for being an assassin, or for shedding innocent blood. Or for a Christian not paying their tithes. It's there. It's in the Bible. And several others. For dishonoring mother and father. So all of these things, you break the curses. Some of the curses have come because people have spoken evil words and judgments on them. Might have been a husband. Could have been a mother, a father, a teacher, a pastor. We break them off in the name of the Lord. Now, this person, can you see what we're doing with them? We're bringing them step by step as we pray for them. All of that can be done in about 30 seconds. And then you start to pray for the need that they've asked for. They didn't ask for any of this. This was bonus. They asked for a job. Or healing. So then you start to pray for the healing. You start to pray for the open door, for the job to come. Now you see, what you've done, you've opened the heavens. You've removed the stones. You've cleared the highway. You've prepared the way for the Lord. You're a minister of the gospel. This is how you pray for people. And you don't just ask God. He's already told you to go and do it. So you say, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing into you. In the name of Jesus, I release the power of God into your life. In the name of Jesus, I open the doors before you and release the job that you need. You're the minister. You're administering. The kingdom of God has come. Now, if you come from a traditional church, it's not the way they taught you to pray. But this is the way Jesus prayed. So then, the job's not finished. You may have to prophesy because God may have more to give that person right now. Something's been washed. The fire of God has come into them. Usually they're crying by now. It's an emotional experience. They can feel the power of God in their bodies. Healing is coming. And God is alive in you. And you have now a word for them. And you give them the word of the Lord. There's a few words you need to give them. One is about themselves. One is about their situation. And one is about their future. So, you need to speak approbation to them. Because some people have not had a father in their lives. They've had somebody who fathered them by giving them life, but not raising them. Many have not spoken acceptance and love and approbation. So, minister of the gospel, you do it. Tell them what God gives you. Tell them they're beautiful. Tell them they're wonderful. Tell them they're absolutely fantastic. Speak it into them. The words that the Holy Spirit gives you at that time will be the right ones. And then speak to them about their families. God will give you words for their families, things that trouble them deeply. A word will come. And then speak to them about their future. You may not have much. Please don't make anything up. But whatever God gives you, at that time, share it with them. And then speak God's favor and blessings, kind of like putting the cherry on top of the ice cream. Say, now I pronounce the blessings of God over your life, the favor of God. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He's anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to open the eyes of the blind, to set the prisoners free, to lift off the oppression, and to proclaim the year of God's favor. And that's the crowning end of your prayer time. You speak God's blessing and favor. It's very powerful if you're a minister of the gospel and the kingdom of God has come. Then it's very powerful. So now you have some training on praying for people. Next time it comes, where you know you're called to pray for somebody, even because they ask you or because God asks you, see yourself as an intercessor who's just walked from the throne room with fire in your hands. You have the intercessor's fire. And you're going to set the captives free. You might in the process cast a demon out after you've broken curses. They may fall to the ground. It's amazing what shows up when you do this kind of thing. But you're the minister of the gospel. You have the power of God. So minister and pray like that. There's so much to be done in the ministry of prayer. And you don't want to just do things out by rote. You don't want to do them just because it becomes your practice or your way. You need the gift of discernment. And the more you exercise this, the more it will grow and develop, and God will bless you. And you'll be powerful for his name's sake. Now we're going to close our meeting. Now just remain seated, but just open your hands. Lord, I thank you for the prayers that have been lifted up in this house. And for all that has been done, we thank you for the ministers of the gospel here. We thank you for attending angels who have moved in a powerful way among us this night. And Father, I ask now as your servants go to their several homes, Lord, may they go in the power of the Holy Spirit and may they go with assignment. Lord, I ask for dreams and visions and the words of the Lord and the release of assisting angels. Lord, I ask for opportunities to come, for doors to be open, and for them to see the power of God through their prayers. I ask for it now, and I release the fire of God to you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.